In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this Tuesday in the fourth week of Lent, we have a clear division between the chants of the Mass, the introit and the gradual, versus the offertory and the communion. To continue our theme then, let us examine them more closely. The introit and the gradual are clearly tied to the epistle of today's Mass, and I remind you that although we call it the epistle, because that is its official name in the Mass, during these Feries of Lent, this epistle is not an epistle of the New Testament. It is always a reading from the Old Testament. In this case, from the book of Exodus. Now, in past sermons, in Lents of old, I have commented at length on this passage from the book of Exodus, which is supremely important, the 32nd chapter. I've spoken about it at great length also in my online series on the Old Testament. This is, as it were, as the fathers would have it, the original sin of Israel. We have the original sin in the Garden of Eden, but this is the original sin of Israel. After they have been brought out of Egypt and given the law by Moses, they rebel in the desert and erect idols, declaring that these idols are in fact the gods that delivered them from Egypt. After they are severely punished by the Lord, Moses, who has smashed the tablets of the law, returns to the mountain to receive the law again, but no longer that law that it seems would have been given to the Israelites, but now a very complex and difficult law in punishment for sins. For this is what St. Paul teaches us, that the law in the Old Testament was given propter iniquitates. It was given because of iniquities. It was there to remind the people of sin. It could not bring them sanctification. It could not redeem them. It could only remind them of their need for a redeemer. It is the voice of Moses, then, that we hear in the introit of today's Mass. Hear, O God, my prayer, and despise not my supplication. Be attentive to me, and hear me. I am grieved in my labors, and I am troubled at the voice of the enemy and at the tribulation of the sinner. This then is tied to the gradual that is sung today in the Mass. Arise, O Lord, bring help to us and deliver us for thy name's sake. O God, we have heard with our ears, and our fathers have declared to us the work thou hast wrought in their days, in the days of old. This gradual, which is said, of course, as the priest ascends the altar for the proclamation of the gospel, and it shows the passage, always during that point of the Mass, the passage from the Old to the New Testament, we are now looking back on what has happened in that time, that all that God wrought among the Hebrew people was as a prefiguration of what was to come, and that even the sacred law which he gave them was a law of bondage. It was a law given because of sin and could not itself redeem from sin. It could only look forward to the new law of the gospel. What is that new law, then, of the gospel? We have the passage, then, in the Gospel of St. John, which we hear about all the time from St. John now, where our Lord says, Mea doctrina non est mea. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. St. Augustine, preaching on this day of Lent, explains to us, how can our Lord say this? My doctrine is not mine. What can it mean? When he says, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me, he means to say that he is himself the doctrine. What doctrine can the Father send if not his eternal word, who is Christ himself? And this is the mysterious meaning of the words of our Savior today. Yes, Christ has come as the new law, He is himself the new law. He is himself the way, the truth, and the life. And so we understand the words that we find in the offertory of today's Mass. This offertory, just to make a comparison, is the same psalm that we use on votive Masses of the Sacred Heart. For instance, when we have the first Friday during Paschaltide, we have this offertory, which is also taken from Psalm 39, one of the most clearly prophetic of the Psalms of David. And here we have the beginning of this psalm. With expectation I have waited for the Lord, and he was attentive to me, and he heard my prayer and put a new canticle into my mouth, a song to our God. What is this new canticle? What is this new song that is put into the mouth of David, ancestor of our Lord? For it is our Lord's voice himself that we are to hear now after the gospel, after our Lord has told us that he has been sent as the true teaching of the Father. It is in this very prophetic 39th psalm that we find the mysterious words. And speaking here, David, who is not a priest of Levi, but is of the tribe of Judah, declares, "Sacrifice and oblation thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast fitted me." This is how we to understand this psalm. St. Paul explains to us that this reading of it is the one we should accept in his epistle to the Hebrews. There are different ways of reading this passage. Like many prophetic passages in the Psalms, often they have been obscured over time, especially when they referred so clearly to our Lord Jesus Christ. But this ancient reading is the one we find in the epistle to the Hebrews and in many of our manuscripts, and it is the one we should hold to. Sacrifice and oblation thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast fitted me. What can this mean? It means that yes, already in the time of David, David prophetically acknowledged that the law of Moses and all its sacrifices, and even the temple that would be built by his son to house all of these sacrifices, none of these things would avail unto salvation. No, none of these things are worthy of God. The only worthy sacrifice is spoken of in this prophetic voice, David speaking for his great descendant, Christ our Savior. Sacrifice and oblation thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast fitted me. Yes, it is only the body of our Savior, that is, God the eternal Word, the eternal teaching, the eternal doctrine of the Father, coming in the flesh. This alone is the acceptable sacrifice that will obtain the remission of sins. It is only after having partaken of this sacrifice that we can sing in the communion that we find today, which is written in a very lively melody of the second mode, and very powerful, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we shall be exalted." Yes, we exalt now to take part in this one true sacrifice, which alone can obtain our salvation.